When you purchase the latest TV, tablet, or smartphone, don't forget to do the right thing with your old ones. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old devices as easy as buying new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find recycling tips, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Don't let your old tech tools clog your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org.
It's 6:02. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time once again for Off the Wall. It's good to be back, and we are back here at Off the Wall, Emmanuel and Kyle.
Hello, everyone.
It's another Tuesday, another sunny Tuesday afternoon.
Really sunny. It's like beautiful, clear, very bright.
Aggressively sunny, I like to call it. A lot to talk about. We have a lot to talk about this week. We were away last 2 weeks.
Happily away.
Happily away. 2 weeks ago was a game, and we were out of the country. And last week we were asked to stay out of the country a little longer, so we had a fill-in show for us. We had a pre-recorded show that we did in preparation for just such an emergency, and it worked.
It worked well. I hope everyone enjoyed our discussions about different sorts of snack food and driving in a different part of Iceland, more to the west and the north, the northwest part of it, if you're looking down on a map of Iceland. And previously we had gone all the way around the perimeter towards the east of that country. And we also visited some stuff in the southwest on a day trip after that that ride where we were having snacks.
And dealing with the wind.
So yeah.
A very windy day. But the funny thing was, we were listening to that show ourselves as we were driving back from Canada in the smart car. So that's kind of cool. We were able to do that. We had to hold the phone up because we didn't have the ability to have it come through the speakers. So we were listening to our own show while we were driving down an interstate in the middle of the night. Well, actually, no, it wasn't dark. It couldn't have been dark, right? It must have been light because it was the same time as here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was still light. It was like early evening and quite refreshing. We'll fix that. That's just one of many, many little things on the list of technical features in the smart car that we're going to add on now that it's working properly. We'll outfit it with all the standard hacker gizmos.
They don't care. They don't care.
I know they don't
how
care.
How we listen to audio in the smart car.
But no, but it's a cool thing to be able to do, that streaming. You can listen to any station, really.
That is true. That's very true. And we do that quite a bit.
It's allowed us to keep up. Yeah, it was really enjoyable.
But it's also cool that the smart car is back on the road. And after a lot of repairs, a lot of fixing up, we are happy to say that it's driving again. First time in a few years. And it's still cool. You know, it's funny because now it's cool for a different reason. At first it was cool because it was the only smart car in America, I think, at least the only one I could find. We would drive it around and people would wave and things like that. Now we've had smart cars in this country. They're a little bit bigger. They have a different look to them.
A lot of them are electric now.
And yeah, but this is a diesel one from Canada, and it's smaller. So we get waves now because it's an old retro car. And it's in great shape because it hasn't driven the last few years.
Yeah, that's really true. We've come full circle that sort of the initial wave of smart cars came through, and now there's a lot of different tiny kind of ultra-compact cars out on the road. Many different manufacturers have similar-sized vehicles, but ours is an early model of the smarts, so even within that make and model of tiny ultra-subcompact car, it's unique because a lot of the smart body styles they're a little bigger. A lot of they're convertibles or they're this sort of evolution on the original. But this is the original. This is the first iteration of the smart car brought into this country first by you, actually, with this vehicle. And now here it is. A hard-to-find vintage version of that early smart model that, for different reasons, you don't see as much of. And here, it's really cool to be able to be a throwback and show off that vintage.
You still have to be careful because you hit a single pothole in that thing and you have an instant flat tire. The reason for that is what? The suspension is just, it's different, right? It's not used to American roads.
It's a stiffer suspension, and we were thinking about maybe getting some smaller diameter wheels. The steel rims that are on it are actually quite large by comparison, so there's less sidewall, and that makes a bit stiffer ride. It's sportier. It's great on nice road, but boy, that combined with the shorter length of the car, you tend to go down and up every single pothole as opposed to like an SUV basically barreling over it and not feeling it. With the Smart, you definitely feel it. It's got that close to the road suspension.
It wasn't an issue at all in Canada. We drove all over the place and the roads were in great shape. And they're further north. They get more snow, more adverse weather, but they take care of their roads. We come down here. Well, in fairness, New York was fine. New Jersey was great, actually. It was when we hit Pennsylvania that all of a sudden, literally at the state border, on the interstate, because I guess the states take care of it for some reason, they don't care as much. We almost instantly barreled into something that we thought was going to destroy the car.
Yeah, and we were going, like, under the speed limit. I mean, definitely maintaining a good pace, but we were not doing anything unusual as far as speed, but they really, I mean, there was adverse weather, driving rain.
It was raining. There were 18-wheelers bearing down on us, and we had a lousy road.
Yeah, so. It was true. It's true. It was not ideal conditions, but it seemed to be almost immediate, as you said, and really, really noticeable. And we were prepared for it, but I guess not really prepared, not as prepared, because it was just a lot more prevalent and harsh than we were anticipating.
So suddenly, that was why we weren't prepared. We were about to get prepared, but you know, we hit Pennsylvania and instantly, bam, pothole. So it's you got to be prepared really quickly.
Yeah, it was kind of remarkable how well we predicted it.
Yeah. So Canada, love Canada. It's great to go there. It was good to see snow for once this year.
Yeah, we got second winter.
We the first winter, I think. But yeah, it was really nice, very relaxing. People are great. Everyone was very supportive of what we were trying to do. I'd like to spend more time there, obviously. Coming back, it was funny because, we were crossing the border with the smart car, and I can't get this out of my head. The American Border Guard guy looks at us, and what does he ask, Kyle?
How many?
We're in a smart car. You can't fit more than two people in this thing. Have you ever seen one before? Even if you haven't, you can see that there isn't any more of it. So unless somebody is underneath the car, it's unlikely there's more than two. Maybe it's just out of habit, you know?
Yeah, he didn't really look up and I think take in the grandeur of the tiny, tiny smart. But it was just really unusual to have a question that was really obvious, the answer. But
I struggle so hard not to say something sarcastic. And if you know me, that is a real sacrifice because there were so many good responses I could have had to that. And I just had to suppress them all.
Yeah. Well, we kind of let it slide.
Yeah, it's called maturity. It's I've learned.
Yep.
All right, so we're back in the States. We've read the full Mueller report. Well, most of it anyway.
The full redacted report.
The funny parts. Yeah. Well, yeah, and we're trying to get to the rest of it. But boy, it's Kafka, Orwell. It's everything mixed together when you see how it's spun. It spun before you even get to look at it at all. And then when you do look at even a piece of it, you realize how much you're being lied to. And then you realize that, they know they're lying. We know they're lying. Action is being taken, but it moves at a snail's pace. And, all I ever hear from people is, well, you can't really do much. And it's so frustrating. You know, tax returns for one thing. Deadline, it came and went today for Trump to release his tax returns because of the law, because of what Congress is able to do. It just ignores the law. Nope, not going to do it. See me in court. And, of course, that will take years or months at best. And there are just so many things like that where the law just doesn't mean anything when you're in power. Treaties, for instance, the treaty with Iran, we broke it. We just broke the treaty. And now, I'm seeing in the news where we're punishing other countries who don't follow us in breaking the treaty. In other words, countries that are trading with Iran as the treaty allowed them to do, instead of taking action against us, we get to take action against these countries that are following the treaty. It makes no sense, but that is our reality. That's where we live right now, where all kinds of things just fly in the face of what is right, what is just, what is legal, and you're just supposed to accept it. It gets really, really frustrating. And it's scary to see how many people just simply accept that. And because it's what they imagine to be their side, yeah, no big deal. The no collusion, just like Trump says. He says no collusion, I say no collusion. He says he was cleared, I say he's cleared. It even says inside that report he is not clear. We cannot clear him. We don't have enough information to be able to clear him. Says that clearly, very clearly, and it's just ignored. I don't know what world I'm living in anymore. It's nice that there are other people that realize this as well, but sometimes it just feels like we're so powerless. The whole impeachment issue. Okay, we're talking about impeachment now. Good, good. I'm glad we're talking about impeachment, because we should be. But so many people don't know how impeachment works. They say, no, he's not going to get impeached because of the Republicans. That's not how it works. You get impeached. We just went through this with Clinton. You know, a lot of us were alive then, so we should remember. The Congress, the House of Representatives, can impeach a sitting president. Period. Now, what happens? Is he thrown out of office when he's impeached? No. Then there's a trial in the Senate. All right? And that's what happened with Clinton. He had a trial in the Senate, and he was acquitted. But he was still impeached. He was impeached by the House, acquitted by the Senate. Now, you might say, okay, so, Emmanuel, what's the point then? What's the point of impeaching him in the House? Because, you know, Mitch McConnell and his merry band of idiots are going to acquit him in the Senate. So why bother? Kyle, you're a cop, all right? And you're pulling me over because I'm swerving all over the road. He's not really a cop, just so in case first-time listeners. No, he's not. But I'm appointing him a cop for the purposes of this exercise. So, you know when you pull me over that I'm going to go to court and get it thrown out, because I'll just say that I was like opening a candy wrapper or something, and that's what made me swerve. Do you write me a ticket, or do you just say, no, what's the point of even pulling him over?
It depends on what kind of day I'm
having. Don't make this difficult, Kyle. You're supposed to say, yes, I give you a ticket.
Absolutely, every single time.
Because you're doing what's right at the moment.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's good to know that. As a cop, you have that sense of justice.
Yeah, I always strive for that.
And we do this all the time. We always are making decisions to do the right thing, even though it might not hold up. Because that's what we know right now. That's the power that we have. And Congress and the House of Representatives, they have this power. They can do this. But there are many elements in Congress, I'm talking about the Democrats specifically, who are reluctant to take this step. They're worried about the election. They're worried about the election in 2020. They're worried about if they're in a district that could be challenged, where they might lose their seat. Will you tell me which is more correct, to worry about your own self-interest or to worry about what is right? Seems like a pretty clear thing right there. Yeah, you know, people might be impatient, but what kind of people? Tell me, what kind of people would only vote for you, a Democrat, if you don't impeach Trump? That doesn't make any sense. There are no people like that. You know, the people who will vote for you obviously would support what you do in this particular case. And the evidence is there. There are some of the countless examples of him flouting the law and behaving in a reprehensible manner. It would go through if people had the guts to stand up.
Yeah, I think just to comment on one thing you said early on in the discussion here, is the House oversight processes involving getting tax returns. That is part of their responsibility. And if anyone, went through different presidents, especially ones that face this, and compared and looked at where we're at just in the kinds of investigation that's been done so far and what we do know is public, and then also what we know is going on in secret or under seal, you would look at it casually. You would, I think, very quickly come to the conclusion that this administration deserves the oversight it's getting. There really hasn't been much that they've done, I think, to prove that they shouldn't be under a little bit of scrutiny, given, as I said, what's out in the open and what is public. And the other thing is that overly cautious statement that a lot of the candidates for Democratic nomination, for presidential nomination, are touting this, I want to focus on getting Trump out the old-fashioned way. I think that's actually a slip of your own lack of confidence in going up against Trump, because if that's the fear that he will deride you, or that will play into his hand, that you don't think you can stick up to him, I think that's a little bit of a slip of your own, what do I want to say, not confidence, but just self, feeling empowered, I think, or your own high ground in the discussion, and basically, you know, the impeachment process is a part of oversight, and to back down and say, well, the election is really the only way. I mean, does this administration, given everything you know, everything that is under investigation or potentially is under investigation, does it deserve to gracefully leave office in the peaceful exchange of power? I think the ultimate mark or bad grade or response from the voting public for this particular administration, I think it should take the form of a statement like this. And I think, like you said, if enough people get around it, you'll actually see that vocalized and show the symbol. But I honestly don't think that they've proven themselves to be deserving of the kind of exit and the kind of change of power that, you know, allowing it to go on and just focusing on re-election. And I also think that's a little selfish, a little self-involved too on the part of candidates advocating for that, because I think there's real harm, and just maybe that you think you can endure it another year. Think about the migrants. Think about the people who will be suffering from the kinds of industrial pollution or other things. I mean, that is all going to impact people in the interim, and to kind of wait it out on political grounds is, I think, just this administration is undeserving of that kind of patience.
No, it's a very political thing to do, and these times demand that we stop doing political things and start doing social things. Think of what happens overseas. The whole Paris thing, the tragedy of Notre Dame burning, and people rioting in the streets because they're not happy with the fact that money is being given to Notre Dame by billionaires instead of being given to the poor. Whereas in this country, money is taken directly from the poor and given to the rich in the form of tax cuts, and we don't do anything. We just sit around. We're not in the streets. You know, the same small crowds maybe, but not enough, not anything like it would be in other countries. Listen to this. This is today. This just came out. The U.S. Treasury blew past the Tuesday evening deadline to turn over President Donald Trump's tax returns to House Democrats. Under the law, the way the law is written, says it as clearly as you can possibly say it. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says his department will take final action on the committee's request by May 6th. Really, Steve? Really? You're going to take action? You're a mouthpiece for Trump. You do everything he says, just like everybody else in his inner circle. You're not going to do anything. All you're doing is pushing it to May 6th, where your Politburo will issue a statement that's completely in line with what Trump says, just like every other thing. Here's something else. This also just happened today. I'm just going to read the headline because the headline is just so horrible. United States threatens to veto UN resolution on rape as weapon of war. Yes, we are going to veto a resolution on rape as weapon of war. Why? Because we're upset at the language on sexual health that is included within it, and our hardline abortion stance is in conflict with that. So this is the kind of crap that we have to deal with on a daily basis. That's only today. Look at the environment, look at social programs, look at education, look at so many things. We could spend hours and hours and hours going over them all. Impeachment is definitely where we need to be going at this stage. It's the only option that is available, other than locking him out and making him run down the street and look for a place to stay. I don't think that's going to happen.
I didn't hear about that that convention or the definition being changed like that. I think that would have the side benefit of forgiving a lot of U.S. soldiers of crimes, perhaps.
Yeah, and not allowing the international court to have any kind of jurisdiction over war crimes committed by members of the U.S. military, something we should be welcoming because every country should be civilized as far as that kind of thing goes. Instead, we're insulting them, threatening them. This is not a country I am proud in any way to be a part of right now, except seeing the people who are standing up and opposing this in strong words and strong terms, many of which are Democratic candidates for the presidency next year. We saw a bunch of them actually on CNN last night. They had five town halls in the same place, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Indeed. Wasn't that remarkable? It was a whirlwind, 5 hours, and I guess the audience was there. They were all students from around the country, but they were so patient. I mean, do you imagine sitting through a five-hour opera I don't know what the equivalent is, but that is such amazing attention span, and having live commercial breaks and stuff, and I don't know what they did to pass the time, because some of it kind of went on and on.
Yeah, but they really sit in, was it the same audience for 5 hours?
Or I couldn't tell.
I can imagine there are people outside that wanted to get in as well, so what I would have done was just simply change it every hour.
Like rotate the audience through so that you get everybody sort of a chance to sit in on one or a couple.
I don't think they did that. I think they just gave it to you know, a small crowd.
But such rapt attention and such interest and really pointed, well-worded and thoughtful questions were posed to these candidates, and some of them really struggled, in my opinion. I don't know what were your thoughts on it, E, initially. Who did you like, or what?
Well, I liked the specifics that Elizabeth Warren gave out. I thought that was really good. I liked the passion that Bernie Sanders had, I'm trying to remember the specifics as far as Kamala Harris. I liked, she told good stories. She was passionate, but she kept saying, "Yeah, I want to have a conversation about that," and kind of deflecting. And I thought that's definitely a political weakness I didn't want to see. Buttigieg, I thought he was good. Oh, by the way, I finally practiced and learned how to pronounce his name properly. It's like you say Buttigieg, except we're replacing judge with the U and judge with an E. So Buttigieg, right?
Yeah, no, I
that's right. I'm saying it right.
I like that.
Okay,
that's a really well pronounced.
If we can learn how to say his name, we can also learn to do other things. I mean, I see progress around us in so many fashions. We have coffee, iced coffee, and we're using plastic straws. Those plastic straws won't be around in a year. People were upset. Well, people in the industry were upset about this. But guess what? We're going to do it. We're going to get used to it. Just like we're getting used to not having plastic bags anymore. We can change. We can do things that are positive and environmentally sensitive, and we can prosper. That's a lot of what was being talked about last night, were ways that the Green New Deal can be implemented. These things are important. People say it's impossible. People say all kinds of things are impossible. But anything is possible if you band together and put your mind to it, including fighting global warming and changing so many things that are around us, getting health care for people, getting free tuition, all kinds of things. It's all possible. It really is. Hey, you know what? This is a fundraising show, and I want to make sure people know that and that they call in 631-632-6901. Pledge your support. Any amount is welcomed. You can pay on a monthly basis with a credit card. You can pay $5 a month. If you pay $5 a month and you do the arithmetic, that turns out to be, let me carry the, $60 a year. $60 a year. And you can do more if you want, but it's only $5 a month. And that $60 will go for a very good cause. 631-632-6901. We take all kinds of credit cards, or you can pay with an invoice. We also have really cool things. We have T-shirts. We have baseball caps. Tote bags. We have tote bags.
Yes, there are tote bags, WSB tote bags. There are gift certificates at the $50 level, and the WSB sweatshirt, the brand new WSB sweatshirt. I don't know if you need it for springtime, but definitely if you go to the beach, a sweatshirt might be helpful, or if you're going to go jogging or any number of other things, the bright green or forest green WSB sweatshirts available at $75, and so many other levels, music, mugs, baseball caps, all that.
Let me give out two levels, because we have two frequencies. We have 90.1,
okay.
So if you pledge $90.10,
yes,
you can get a baseball cap or WSB. That's kind of confusing. Okay, baseball cap, WSB tote bag, T-shirt, or CD.
You
have it
says pick
two items.
Yeah.
Well, a CD and a baseball cap isn't as nice as a T-shirt and a tote bag. You know what? Everyone has different opinions on it. But you get two of those four items, baseball cap, USB tote bag, T-shirt, or CD. If you pledge $107.30, because our other frequency is 107.3, you can pick three items, sweatshirt, T-shirt, baseball cap, tote bag, mug, or CD.
You got it, yeah. And let's be clear, it's not really about the thank you gifts. They are merely thank you gifts for participating, for becoming a member and or a continuing member, as you suggested with the monthly donation, which is great. It's ongoing. It's something the station can count on. Highly recommend it. But the real gift is we continue to broadcast shows like this, other interesting shows, incredible music, great live performances, even the occasional sporting event is really the labor of love that is WUSB and community radio in general.
You know, if you add the two frequencies together, you get $197.40. Now, what if we make that where you get all six of those items? I wonder if we can make that
three
work.
Three and two. That, no, it should be five. If you get to pick three from one and two from another, that's five.
Yeah, but it's a special deal because you're adding two. I don't know, but I'm just trying to think creatively here.
No, it's not about the gifts. It's about...
It's not.
It's about the money heading our way, becoming part of the coffers, something that operations and our lovely management can count on, something that they can contribute to our general fund that keeps our transmitter on, keeps our equipment.
Transmitters. We have two transmitters.
Yes, both. Yes, indeed. And lets us work on things and plan on things for the future. There's some items that we're really looking forward to acquiring as a station that would help us with all of the things that we've been involved in and that other people have been working really hard on.
That little thing that spells out the radio station on your radio?
Yeah, we want to get that.
We want to get one of those.
Yeah.
And your help will allow us to actually spell out.
I'm so glad
you mentioned messages,
it.
The songs we're playing, the radio station we're on, or help, I'm locked in the studio. You can send that out, too.
Yeah, if you have one of these in-dash radio systems, a lot of vehicles and a lot of equipment now displays things. It's station ID, basically. It's a type of alphanumeric label that is scrolling or otherwise associated with a frequency. So when people are in the area and they're tuning around and they go into a frequency because it's playing great music or they're talking about interesting things and they're wondering, gee, I wonder what this station is. I wonder what this frequency's or where it's originating. Who is this? They can look down and they'll see our call sign. They'll see Stony Brook, and they'll know exactly where they can find out more just by searching for that, or maybe we even put a URL so they could go directly to our website.
And if you don't like what we broadcast, it's a lot easier to complain because you can see it right away who we are. So it's in your interest to call now and pledge so that you can get our ID in the future when we say something that offends you. 631-632-6901. That's just one possibility, but other people as well. If you're happy with what we do, if you're not happy, if you're just interested and engaged and want to be a part of the conversation and want this voice of the radio station to continue, then please call and keep us going. 631-632-6901. We only ask for funds twice a year, and it's hugely important in keeping alternative voices in so many different ways on the air. We have so many good programs that air 24/7.
Indeed, it's small. It's a small thing for you, but and this is really important to emphasize that we are a very small, highly localized station. We have listeners all around the world, but your contributions, when you contrast that with a lot of other stations, a lot of other media entities out there, we're basically counting on that donation because so much of every single one actually goes to the regular operations here, and it just makes such a huge impact when we are able to fundraise like this. It's so important and impactful. Every single pledge really goes a huge distance for a station like this, and we've come a long way with our new facilities here, and as we said, have items and projects that we're looking forward to in the future, and we have a lot less of the other things that we've wanted to do in the past that it took to get here, like furniture and microphones. All those things, they're working now. We don't fight with the delay quite as much as we used to. It just blinked at me, so never mind. I'm sorry. Okay.
We're in delay right now.
Yeah, but don't taunt.
I'll be coming out of two places at the same time. Yeah, and
okay. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. But all I have to do is hit this button.
Okay.
And it'll really confuse everybody because I'll be coming out of two places at the same time, and then you don't want that.
Yeah. But we do,
I have no idea what just happened.
We do want more PSAs. We want more stuff to produce, getting more volunteers in here, finding the time to train people, getting our other production studios going. All of these things really are what you're contributing to, and that allows us to bring you more local content and more of this amazing community radio that is really hard to find. You know, it's not just a playlist. We're not just a library of music that's on repeat. This is something that a lot of people put incredible amounts of work into their shows. Our producers here are really experts. They are probably busy with other things all the time, you know, during the week. But what time they have, they dedicate to producing shows that they really care about, whether it's science fiction or it's different types of music, world music or Afro beats, like Daisy does on that show, and Korean music and other interesting things. Those people are listening, they're keeping their ear to the ground, and then they bring that stuff to you because they want to produce something and they really love to share the music that they enjoy. And we do the same thing. We find articles, we find stories, we ask you, the listener, to comment on things, we read your letters, and we like to have conversations and back and forth to see where different topics go and see what we can lend to the discussion, and you're a part of that. So I just want to thank everyone who's considering it, and if you haven't already, please donate to WUSB and just know how much that support really matters to us.
Every phone call counts. Every time somebody calls 631-632-6901, it causes no end of excitement around here. So if you want to have that effect on us, it's so easy. It's a small financial payment, small, but a cup of coffee literally costs less than a monthly payment. 631-632-6901. Imagine a whole bunch of people calling up at the same time. We completely go ballistic here. It'd be amazing. And just knowing you have the power to make that happen, that to me, that's the magic of radio. We're just over $6,000, it looks like, according to the tally. We're about halfway, maybe a little less than halfway to our ultimate goal. So we have a ways to go, and it really matters when people call in, and you can call in from all over the world, as Kyle said. We have listeners everywhere. If you have Alexa, all you have to say is, "Alexa, play WUSB." And she'll do it. But make sure you say WUSB properly, or you might get a different radio station.
Yeah, you'll get WUSB in Atlanta if you aren't articulating the U. WUSB.
Yeah, definitely do that. And she'll comply. And we're working on all sorts of other ways. TuneIn, we're on all kinds of apps, but we're looking at all sorts of other ways. And, of course, our website, WUSB.fm, you can also pledge through there. So, yeah, that's super cool. Again, 631-632-6901 is our phone number. Back to things that are going on. How about some stupidity, some local stupidity?
Okay.
There were all kinds of 420 checkpoints in Suffolk County. 420, of course, being that special pot day that also was Hitler's birthday, apparently, and the Columbine and Waco anniversary.
That was Friday, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
No, it was Saturday.
The whole weekend's kind of a daze.
Yeah, it's a blur. It was like kind of a haze to me.
Well, on the day marijuana smokers around the country and the world gathered to celebrate weed culture, several police departments on Long Island were out looking for impaired drivers throughout Suffolk County. The increased patrols came on April 20th, the annual day when cannabis enthusiasts light up. Okay, right away, cannabis enthusiasts don't need a day to light up. I'm not going to really dwell on that point, but it's just funny to read these news stories that are approaching it that way. Law enforcers from 9 agencies did not find drivers suspected of being stoned on Saturday, commonly known as 420. That should be the headline. Okay, 9 police departments went out there looking for stoned drivers and didn't find a single one. All right? But guess what? They did find people who illegally possessed marijuana. Wow, really? So you're proud of yourself for that? I mean, something that's legal in many states now and soon will be legal in this state. And that's what you spent your time doing? First of all, I'm curious, how did you find the marijuana on people? Did you search their car without permission? You know, you have to have probable cause to search somebody's car. And what, because somebody is a certain age group maybe or race? Was that the probable cause that you used? You know, there's a lot that's missing from this story.
Yeah, I think these checkpoints are... they're very close to entrapment. I mean, to block someone's way just because they're on a specific road at a specific time, and that is the assumption and the grounds for doing some kind of search, I think that's a bridge too far.
Well, you know, it depends. It depends how much of a problem it is. And it is a problem because, listen to what they made 17 arrests for unlawful possession of marijuana, 8 arrests for driving while intoxicated. Now, that should be the headline. Not drivers arrested in Suffolk 420 checkpoints, because what they were looking for were drivers impaired by marijuana. They found nothing. They found nobody, but they found 8 drunk drivers. All right? 17 arrests for unlawful possession of marijuana. But again, how did they find the marijuana without violating some very basic rights here or tricking people into having their cars searched? You know, I really would like to know about that. Alcohol is a much bigger problem for drivers than marijuana. I think this proves it. And that didn't make it into the headline. That did not make it into the headline at all, and that, I think, is a real story.
It may have been that they asked, do you have anything like this in your car? And people honestly answered and then were subject to a search either way. It's kind of like, do you have this or not? We're going to search you. And then, you know, they put the question to you again, and somebody's, like, thinking to themselves, well, okay, I can lie and then, you know, be put into a secondary search or be subject to this, and they'll find out that I lied, or I'll be honest, and, you know, because I'm in the moment, I, you know, don't want to be dishonest, and I'm forced to go through this checkpoint just because I'm driving somewhere in a particular time.
It seems really unfair to subject people to that, especially something that is legal in so many places now.
Oh, yeah.
I want to just walk up to everybody in the street saying, hey, you're carrying some pot, you know, over and over and over again, and people are afraid of lying to a cop, so everyone's going to say yes, and all these people will be arrested. It's ridiculous. They weren't under the influence. They weren't doing anything that was dangerous. And yet, the headline reads that they were arrested, and along with the drunk drivers. They are the real threat. They are the real threat. Now, part of the story, more stupidity. Nassau County's legislature yesterday unanimously voted to opt out of the sale of recreational marijuana if the state legalizes the program. Unanimously. How stupid are these people? I mean, what do you expect is going to happen when it does get legalized? You just expect all your citizens to go to another county to buy marijuana, or you think they're just somehow going to remain completely straight edge and not have anything? Why don't you close all the bars in Nassau County? They're causing a lot more problems than any pot will. It's this fear, it's this ignorance that we've been fighting all this time. And here it is rearing its head again, and a lot of it being led by Democrats. Last month, Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone said Suffolk, our county, would also opt out, but in a year they have the option of opting back in. But the whole thing is stupid. You know, this is being proven to work, to be the source of all kinds of revenue. This checkpoint alone proves that it's not affecting people's ability when they're driving, because they're not driving stoned, not to the extent of drunk drivers. You had 8 arrests for drunk drivers and none for stone drivers. That says something. That proves the point right there. I'm just seeing all this reactionary nonsense. New Jersey, last month, New Jersey, a month-long effort to legalize marijuana collapsed after Democrats were unable to muster enough support for the measure. Among the most vocal opponents were a handful of African-American Democratic lawmakers who split with their party over legalization, arguing it would be a public health menace to their communities. Really? The abrupt unraveling of the campaign to legalize marijuana also reflected how some lawmakers were swayed by the challenges faced by other states that have legalized cannabis, including how to keep the drug away from teenagers and prevent people from driving under its influence. Well, look, we just proved it's not as much of an issue as driving drunk. And you want to keep it away from teenagers? Well, legalizing it is a great way to do that, because when a teenager walks into a legal establishment trying to buy pot, he's not going to be sold any. Whereas if he goes down the road to the guy dealing it on the corner, he doesn't care. He doesn't care how old his customers are, and he also doesn't care what other drugs he sells them. And that's how pot can be a gateway drug through the people that you buy it from. If you're buying it legally, that doesn't happen. Now, this just annoys me so much because of what was lost. That the bill that failed in New Jersey was going to redress what its supporters said were the consequences of the war on drugs on minorities. It would tackle concerns about fairness in the multi-billion-dollar cannabis industry. It would have wiped away criminal records for hundreds of thousands of people convicted of minor drug offenses and legalized recreational marijuana in a state that borders the nation's biggest cities. It would have given many in prison a chance to be set free, ended parole for many others. But these short-sighted people did not see the benefits, and the whole thing fell apart. Democrats, thank you very much for that.
I think I have a lot of things to say, but I think the treatment of the drug as like criminalizing it is going to beget the kind of behavior through paranoia. You know, I remember under prohibition, you know, what it's like to not have safe access. And so I think the behavior that they're getting is mostly a result of the attitude, of the social attitude of criminalizing the substance, especially doing something like transporting it. It's not the same as being under the influence and operating heavy machinery. So the other comments I would have, one major thing that I noticed, safe access in general begets good labeling and stuff too. Just like you said, IDs and stuff would keep it out of kids' hands. People who are consuming it safely would be able to know the dosages, know exactly the content of what they're consuming. There'd be consistent oversight. And the funds that are generated, tax funds, the duties and all of that, could be spent on programs that help educate young people.
Absolutely.
In dealing with not just substance abuse, but social pressure and a lot of what kids actually are experiencing at that age. And it would make it something that was controlled and increase the age to something closer to alcohol.
These are people who are not driving drunk. They are not fighting in bars. When's the last time you saw a pot-based fight in a bar? It doesn't happen.
Right, yeah. So that regulated distribution, I think, is really important because it becomes something that is responsibly distributed. It's distributed in a controlled way, regulated way, exactly regulated. And the three things I noticed when we were in Canada, we were just in Canada, as we've said, and
that's right, it's legal in the whole country of Canada now.
Federally, and there were a couple of things I noticed that I think are definitely relevant to this. Number one, that it's federally legal, but the local jurisdictions can participate and apply whatever other rules and laws they want. And the federal legislation is, I think it was either federal or the province rules, in particular in Ontario, where we were allowed outdoor use, which is not the case in some of the states that have legalized in the U.S. So I think a federal, like kind of a looser attitude federally is good because it allows ordinances and stuff to go from there. And so in Canada, you can walk on the sidewalks and so on and so forth, but it is up to the province and then city and that kind of thing. And to that end, that kind of approach allows for a larger attitude to shift on the national scale, and then you narrow it. And if a province decides, yeah, sidewalks and parks are okay places to consume this, mm-hmm. they can then go from there, and then it works its way down. Now, NASA, I think, is short-sighted in losing out on opportunities to regulate this and promote businesses.
It's Nassau, Suffolk, New Jersey. I'm just so dismayed because I expected better. I expected better from the governments in these places. I thought we were more enlightened than this. Yeah, there are going to be some missteps. There are going to be some issues. We're learning. But this is a positive step. Washington has proved it. Colorado has proved it. Oregon, all kinds of places. And Canada is proving it now.
Yeah, yeah. And so that important ability to regulate from different jurisdictions and allow it on a wide scale, but then have it be a little bit more specialized and localized is important. It gives the provinces and cities a little bit of autonomy and so on and so forth. The other thing that was emphasized from province level and that was, I think, also a part of a lot of the education attribute was that the province and the national level education and literature that was distributed and that was a part of allowing it and the rollout of this this new access policy really emphasized three really crucial things. Don't consume this and drive. Don't consume this and go to work. And keep it out of reach of children. Mm-hmm. Those three things were really, really strongly emphasized in how Canada wanted legal consumers, recreational consumers, to think about their use of it. And I think those three things are really incredibly important. And last thing I want to say is that online sales were something that Ontario did early on, and I don't think we've talked about that enough in this discussion. The New York State of Health, I think, something that I didn't realize this before, but looking at the example in Ontario, it really hit home with me that to roll this out on the state level and have a really good online sales system really I think is a great way to start, and it allows the other retail places to open up and flourish eventually at their own pace. But if the state says, hey, look, come to our website, we'll do this by mail, we'll start this this process and really provide and get an idea of what the demand is and then allow the different cities and states to figure it out and really come on board, I think that's a great additional way of setting this up that I hadn't seen before and I didn't really emphasize or realize.
You know, we went to the hearing in Nassau County last year, and we saw so many people speaking out in a very enlightened way, who had become very educated on the pros, the cons, how to do things, and it was a very nice dialogue, conversation, dozens of people speaking out. And to have the Nassau County, what is it, board, I forget what it was, the legislature, that's right, unanimously just rule against it to say, no, we're not going to allow this, means that they just didn't listen to those people. They listened to the six women from Rockville Center who all showed up together and all were vehemently anti-pot. They all spoke up. They all had something to say. They were listened to, but apparently they were the only ones listened to because nobody else who had done the research, who actually came there with informed information, they just don't count. They just don't count at all, and that's what we're seeing. Islandia, the village of Islandia, voted 4-0 to grant the village attorney the authority to file a lawsuit against the state if they legalize marijuana. We're seeing more and more things like that all around us, and it's disgusting because the people aren't being listened to. Most people believe that marijuana should be legalized. So let's just do it and get better at it and do it right and be a model for the rest of the country, the rest of the world, because we can do that. And just to see this kind of thing happen in places where you imagine we'd be a little bit more progressive is very disheartening. But we have the power. We have the power to stand up to them and have them listen to us. And I think we're making a big mistake if we give up. One other thing I just wanted to touch upon, not really related to any of this, but I just read this in the paper today. Turns out the village of Port Jefferson, which is right adjacent to Stony Brook, guess what? They're planning to have their first deer cull next winter to contend with what officials say is a marked increase of bucks, does, and fawns in the North Shore Village. Mayor Margot Garant said village residents are fed up with seeing deer grazing in their yards and crashing into them on Port Jefferson's narrow, winding roads. Well, I've got something to say about that. I've got something to say about that. First of all, you're upset at seeing deer on your lawn. Boo who. We are in their environment as much as they're in our environment, okay? And the reason they're here is because we drove them out of other places by building everywhere. You can't just build things and expect no consequences. That is why they have migrated. Now, you know, just shooting them all is not the answer. Studies show that that causes more problems. It actually causes more of an increase in the population because of mating habits and things like that, which we don't have time to get into right now. But, you know, I'm also really upset hearing people are crashing into deer and upset at that. You know what? Drive better. How many deer have we run over, Kyle, in the years that we've been driving around?
We've never hit a deer.
Never hit a deer. And we certainly had opportunity to hit a deer. We can hit deer. We can hit squirrels. We can hit wild turkeys and geese. They're everywhere. And children, too, they're running around. But we don't because we're careful. I see the way people drive around here. I've been driving since the 1970s. I have never seen people drive so badly as they do now with their massive two-story SUVs swerving around. See how many times someone's coming at you and they're on the wrong side of the double yellow line. You know, they have one tire over as if they need extra space. Well, what happens if you're like them and you need extra space? Read Newsday. You see it every day. All kinds of horrible accidents happening. Because people don't drive properly. A lot less people should be on the roads. That's where the culls should be. I don't mean a cull like, you know, kill them. I mean a cull like, you know, eliminate the percentages of people that are driving because not that many people should be on the roads if they can't pass a simple safety course. If you're hitting a deer, you're not paying attention. And I've heard conversations where people have said they've hit deer three or more times as if it's some kind of a competition. You're doing something wrong if that's happening. Pay attention.
Yeah, especially on the island here, I think you need to pay attention to which kinds of roads you're on. If you're on a larger road or a parkway or something, that's different than being on an arterial, than being on a local road. And the posted speed limits, they mean something. And deer, they jump right out into traffic. They are hard to see mm-hmm. on the side of the road, especially if it is nighttime. So more liberal use of high beams, respectful, but I think liberal use
Respectful use of high beams?
Well, with your other fellow drivers,
oh,
you don't want to blind people.
The deer, okay.
No, but I'm saying, like, there are things you can do to change your driving habits. And yeah, you should be aware of all kinds of creatures.
And here's the other thing. People are, okay, Emmanuel, what are you going to do about all the deer that are around? First of all, you know, if you're upset they're eating your flowers or whatever, either plant different flowers that the deer don't like or put a fence up that they can't get around. Adjust. You're human. You can do that. And the other thing, as far as them proliferating, guess what? They have ways of making it so that they become sterile, at least for a number of years. And how do they apply that? They don't take all the deer into an operating room. They hit them with a dart. Hit a deer with a dart. Guess what? You can't have little deer for at least 3 years. Wow, isn't that something? So you still get to hunt them, you're just not killing them, and you're eliminating the surplus population at the same time, but in a humane way. There are answers to this. And the deer tick issue, you know what? Deer ticks are not just carried by deer. They're carried by every animal in the forest, including birds. So you're going to have to kill an awful lot to get rid of them. So that's not the answer either. All right, well, that's all I'm going to say about that because we just found out about that, but I'm sure that's a topic we'll be discussing.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. We went out of time too fast. We'll be back next week. You can write to us, otw@2600.com, and, of course, you can call 631-632-6901 and pledge your support. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.
Was nothing that you dreamt of in the end.